Blog Talk Radio.
I feel the love of the saved in this place.
Tasha Parker Meredith and Derek Shelton. I am your host, Dr. Tasha Parker Meredith, and I want to welcome you to another edition of Tuesday Talk on this beautiful afternoon Tuesday in April. Wow, I can't believe it's April already. I want to welcome to the show right away our co-host, Derek Shelton. How you doing today, Derek?
Well, it's once again, we're a week past me saying I was doing all right last week to me doing pretty good this week. I'm actually sitting in the parking lot of my doctor's office because I have an appointment immediately after the show. So I'm able to just jump off the phone here when we get done and go right on in and get my second to the last visit out of the way.
Awesome.
So I'm feeling pretty good about it. Yeah, and I got good news about my car. They've had my car fixed, getting it fixed for like the last, will be 3 weeks as of Friday almost. So just shy of 3 weeks, but they got it taken care of. They were waiting on some parts to come in, and they got the parts to come in, which is why it's taking a little bit longer than they had anticipated. But it's going to be just like new, and as if it never been hit. And you know, it's making me feel good about that. And I miss my little car, so I'm looking forward to getting it either Thursday or Friday. So it's all good news there. That's all good news.
Awesome. I'm glad we're on the good news on this morning. I'm actually broadcasting from Virginia today, so I'm excited, and the weather is beautiful out this way, and all is well, Derek.
That's good. That's good to hear, Josh.
Yeah.
It's always good to hear good news in the times that we have to almost have no choice but to hear bad news no matter what.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, and speaking of bad news, we're going to talk about the situation where the students were murdered in Kenya last week. But before we get into that, I had a couple other stories that I wanted to just talk about or bring back up. And, you know, just to recap, last week we talked about black-on-black crime, and we continued our discussion in about police brutality. And so I don't know what the latest update is on the story of the young man who was killed recently in Atlanta, but I will check that before we get off the phone. But I wanted to provide an update. You know, several weeks ago, Derek, you and I talked about the whole situation with Bobby Christina. And so I wanted to just provide an update. It looks like, according to, of course, this is social media. So, you know, take it for what it's worth. It's breaking news as of yesterday. So we're not too sure how true this is, but it's saying here, Derek, that Bobby Brown is going to take Bobby Christina off of life support.
Oh, really? Yeah, I hadn't even heard anything about it, Tasha, recently to know. And I knew that I know Becky had told me something about that. She had heard that Bobby Christina was responding in positive ways, so I thought that was good, you know, and I hadn't really kept up with it because, like I say, I tried out not to hear anything that I would feel would be bad news, and that would not make me feel good about it. So, I mean, it's good to hear something good about coming from that. But she had told me that about three days ago. So that's the last I heard anything for a long time. But just saying now that Bobby Brown says that he's going to go ahead and take her off the life support and see if she's going to manifest that way?
Well, that was the title of the article. However, when you read it further into the article, it's saying that he still has hope. And he is the only one who does not want to take her off life support, whereas her aunt, Sissy, and Pat, they actually want her to rest and to be at peace, and they actually want to go ahead and take her off of life support. But, of course, as you know, because she and Nick were not legally married, that leaves Bobby Brown as her next of kin. So the ball is totally in his court, if you will, as far as pulling the plug. I could say pull the plug. That just sounds so, like, so bad. But, you know, I wanted to mention a story that I saw on Facebook yesterday, a story of a husband and wife, and the husband was actually in the same state that Bobby Christina is in now. He was in a very bad car accident 7 months after he and his wife were married, and so that left his wife with the decision of whether she was going to leave him in the medically induced a coma or not. And she felt that God would bring him out, and I saw pictures of her sleeping, you know, next to her husband. She said she did a lot of praying, and wouldn't you know, they transferred him from the hospital to a home, and he had a home, like home health care, and wouldn't you know it, after 3 years, he woke up, and he's doing much better now. So, you know, I wanted to mention that story because, you know, that's a testament of how strong her faith was and or is and how good God is. And it's just amazing. You know, Bobby Brown is exuding exemplary faith right now. And so a lot of people disagree with him, but I don't know. I don't know what I would do. It's hard to say what you know what we would do in those situations, Derek. What do you think?
Well, you can never doubt the power of God. You can never doubt that. And I never have, you know, all my life, Tasha. You know, as we've talked so many times, and you know when I delivered my story to you when we first started out before we even became our. Before I even became your co-host, about you know how I was bullied and how I grew up in situations, and I had always kept the faith in God, and God will see you through if you got the faith and you pray up and you keep in mind that you know anything is possible. And in this case with this lady, you know it's some people think it's a miracle, some people say it's a miraculous thing or one in a million chance, but. You know, you never can count out what God can do, and I try to tell people, you know, to always keep the faith, especially when I get an opportunity to speak to youth or people, you know, who have gone through some things and they're down on their luck and their hopes, and you know, say, hey, you know, I that's why I tried to get my story out there to let it be known that, you know, I've gone through some things and some challenges in my life that I kept the faith and prayed and God brought me through and with faith and prayer. There's no limits what can happen, and you know it's amazing. It's just amazing what can happen, and you never can give up the hope of anything being happening in a positive way.
Absolutely, and you know that's basically what this past well not basically but that's what this past Saturday for some of us was about as far as Easter and talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And, you know, I went to shout out to Pastor Andy Stanley and the Buckhead Church there in Atlanta, Buckhead right outside of Atlanta. And that's what Pastor Stanley talked about. He said, you know, we don't become Christians or we're not believers just because Jesus was this great teacher or just because Jesus, you know, did all these miracles. He's saying that we are believers, Christians, if you will, because he rose from the dead and because of what God did by raising Jesus from the dead. And that is just one of the miraculous things that God has done, can do. And so, you know, it's tough to say what we would do in those situations, but if we are believers, you know, that's an opportunity, if you will, for us to exercise our faith when we have a situation like that. So I agree with you, Derek. There's nothing that God cannot do if he so chooses.
Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Yes. Yeah, you kind of fell out of there for a second, and I thought maybe I lost you, but okay, we're back.
Oh, okay. No, I was just saying that there's nothing that God can't do if he so chooses, you know. So
exactly.
So we'll see more to come on the Bobby Christina story and, you know, the gentleman that just came out of coma. We'll see how that story ends. And, you know, another local story that we have here in Maryland before we start talking about the situation in Kenya, Derek, is sadly, I was watching the news last night, and 8 family members were found dead in a home here in Maryland. And it sounds like they died from carbon monoxide poisoning. And they all, I believe, they said they found and it was children. It was 5 girls, 2 boys, and their dad. This was a single dad raising 7 children, Derek. They were all, unfortunately, found dead yesterday. Isn't that just the saddest thing?
Oh, yeah. Anytime you hear about a story that takes the lives of children, it just makes you just cringe and just feel so saddened from the situation, Tasha. And, you know, you just wonder what transpired to allow that to happen. And, what could have been done and put in a place to prevent it, you know. And it's like, well, it's after the fact when you look and see what really happened and say, well, if they'd have done this, if this would have happened, then this wouldn't have been a situation. But it's always like after the fact when we figure things out. And that's you know, did you get any information as to what happened, as why, I mean, and how that how that took place?
Yes, well, what happened was the power, and don't know why the power was turned off, like if it was for a non-payment of a bill or why exactly the power was turned off, but the power was turned off in this home, and so the dad was heating children, heating the home with a generator, and it was gas. Obviously, a gas generator, and something happened. I don't know if the generator was inside of the house or the gas seeped inside of the house or exactly what happened. But, yeah, and they were found. They had been missing for over a week, and when they were found in bed. The children were in sleeping positions like they possibly died in their sleep. So there is an investigation going on, but, you know, I thought this is kind of one of those, as you say, hashtag moonwalk stories where you hear it and it's so strange and it's so unfortunate, but it's also an opportunity to tell all of our listeners or to suggest, encourage to all of our listeners to change your smoke detectors and check your carbon monoxide detectors. If you don't have a carbon monoxide detector and you have gas anywhere in your house, I encourage you to go to Home Depot or Lowe's or in Wisconsin, I believe it's Menards. I think their cost is like $23 to $26, Derek, and you'll get alarmed if you have carbon monoxide in your home. You know, whether these folks had one or not, I'm not sure, but it's just an unfortunate event, Derek.
Yeah, you know, and see, the thing is the kids are innocent to the fact of this stuff, you know, and like I say, regardless of what the situation was that entailed this to happen, or that entails things to happen, you know, the kids really don't have, they don't have a choice of being where they're born to and being under the circumstance of whatever happens to cause them to perish in a situation. You know, it's just so disheartening, Tasha,
right,
to say the least.
Yes, it is. So we'll be praying for the family and, you know, praying that the children and the dad are laid to rest in peace. And we pray that does not happen again anytime soon. So unfortunately, we have another very heavy story this week, Derek, that we're going to talk about. But before I mention that, I wanted to talk about the Steve Harvey situation with for those of you who are not on my Facebook account, I reposted something where this lady, I think you saw it, Derek, this lady was going off on Steve Harvey, and basically Steve Harvey doing what he does, made jokes about the special needs community, about children at church, and this lady just took it like she was very serious about it, and she didn't think it was funny at all. And so I wanted
rightfully
to just
so.
Talk
rightfully
about
so.
That.
Rightfully so.
Absolutely.
So,
what are your thoughts?
I just want to say, I mean, she had every right to, but I'm going to let you finish. I just wanted to jump in there because I just wanted to say she had a right to blast him like that. But anyway, that's all I wanted to say. But go ahead, finish what you're saying.
No. I wanted to ask you what are your thoughts on that? One of our listeners, my mom, actually suggested that we have Steve Harvey on our show. So I think I'm going to reach out to him and see. I follow him on Twitter, so I'm going to send him a message and invite him to the show and see if he would care to defend himself. He may or may not respond, but hey, we'll see.
I guarantee he's not going to respond to get on the show. I mean, that's something that's probably way below him to even try to do, and then to try to explain himself. You know, when you get an arrogance such as he has, and I've heard from sources here in the L.A. area that he's a really arrogant kind of a guy. That, I mean,
oh, really?
On the outside you never know, but people on the inside say that he's a butthole, to say the least. And I hate to put it that way, but I could say a lot worse. But so it doesn't surprise me. It doesn't surprise me. That, you know, and I'm not just picking on him in particular, because you know, comics slash comedians, however you want to put it, because, you know, myself, you know, I consider myself a humorist more so than a comedian, but I know how it goes. But I would never use a routine that or a stand-up routine that I'm going to do to make fun of people who can't help themselves in the case that he does or that. I mean, it's just in a bad light. It really is. And with me being someone who has been a care provider for people with special needs and know the hearts and know the family situations and how parents feel about these things and the sensitivity of nature of it, I would never do that. But, you know, some people, you know, they don't care. I mean, they feel like, hey, if I can make a buck doing it, then why not? If I can, you know, if people are going to be too sensitive to them, oh, well, you know, like I say, Steve probably would never accept an invitation from us to that would probably, number one, be below him, and number two, why would he feels like, you know, he'd be embarrassed, you know, and I put him through a test. I definitely would. I'm not scared of Steve. Come on, Steve. Come on with it.
Come on, Steve.
Yeah.
So, you know, you mentioned, Derek, thank you for your response. You mentioned that you're a comedian or a humorist, as you put it. So how is it that, you know, how do you select your material? And this is not a in defense of Steve Harvey, but how do you... You know, how does one select material without being offensive to someone? You know, it seems like, you know, you're going to offend someone in some way. It just kind of depends on what you're talking about. Or are there certain categories or certain people, if you will, that you just don't talk about? And this was one of the lines that was crossed this time.
Well, you have to use your common sense for one thing, and then you have to be sensitive to what people will and will not be offended by. You know, I mean, there's a lot of things that you know we all do and go through and have situations with that we aren't proud of, that we know that there's things that, you know, people don't want to go there on because they know that it's certain things that may bring up a ill feeling, not only in themselves, but in others. And you have to be really, how should I say, aware of what the potential would be if you brought on a certain situation. And there's certain things, don't get me wrong, there are many times in things that are, there's certain things that are really borderline that some people will take it in the right way and it'd be just for gags or just for a fun and a laugh, and it's not a big issue. But there are certain things you just don't go there on. And when you talk about, like with Steve, you know, I mean, he's, you know, the lady pointed it out very well and eloquently in her somewhat a thing on talking about what Steve did in his routine. That, you know, hey, we're families out here dealing with this, and you're not putting yourself in the position of the parents that have to deal and go through what they have to go through for caring for someone who has autism or whatever the case may be. So the sensitivity issue is very much in the line and taken into consideration when you do a piece or if you do a routine or stand-up act, you take into consideration the real true feelings of others and the sensitivity value of things. You know, you have to do that. And in this case, he didn't do it and probably didn't care. Who knows? Who knows what it's all about, you know?
Yeah, I'm wondering, you know, the thing is, I can remember way back, you know, where for those of you who haven't seen the lady's response, the video, she has an autistic child, and she was talking about how Ricky Smiley has always made fun of the special needs community, individuals in the special needs community. And so it's just very interesting to me that, you know, it's something that in some ways has become almost acceptable, and we've gotten to a point where we don't speak on it. And so I commend her for, you know, not only speaking on it, but pretty much challenging and calling out Steve Harvey.
Yeah, you know, nowadays people are in so much of a way that there's a whole lot of stuff going on that people could care less about and the feelings of others and that. But when you get an opportunity to call somebody out on it, and it means something to you to do, then why not do it and at least bring an awareness to it, and then maybe that'll change a person's attitude in mind the next time. And, you know, hopefully Steve has gotten wind of this lady coming up. And I didn't notice how many views that the video had thus far or whatever. Hopefully it's on YouTube, and hopefully it'll get back to him. And maybe she's not the only one that's made risen the issue on this. And maybe he's right. Heard it for more than, you know, hopefully, you know, she's not the only one, and that it's brought aware, it's been brought to his awareness of it, and he won't do it again. But,
absolutely.
You know, you got to call people out sometime, and because people are so out of touch sometimes in the way they come off and how they offend people, or you know, just like the bullying thing. There's people bullying people, even though there's a big issue about the bullying awareness, which I'm a part of. You know, there's people that they're in denial that they're a bully, you know, and that they'll
right.
do it even though they know it's not right. Says, well, it happens to everybody, but that's not my case. My case is different.
Right.
You know, that's not
right.
Right. You can't feel that way, you know.
Right. Absolutely. So, yeah, I wanted to bring that up, and I am going to message Steve Harvey, and we will I'm just making a note for my. We'll see. We'll let you know. We'll let all the listeners know. In the meantime, before we talk about our main topic today, we have a caller on the line who has a question. So we're going to, a question or a comment. We're going to open up the lines now. If you have a question or a comment, please dial 714-583-6964. If you're listening online, dial 714-583-6964. Press option 1, and that'll let us know that you have a question for or a comment for Derek and I. All right? Welcome to Tuesday Talk. You're on the air. What's your question or comment?
Hi, Dr. Meredith. This is Nadria.
Hi,
hey,
Nadria.
I know I've been absent. It was Lent season, so there were certain things I could not do.
well, welcome back.
Okay. We ain't mad at you no more. We ain't mad at you no more now that you done set us straight on it.
Oh my gosh, Wayne.
Yeah, we know why you were gone now, so we'll let you slide this time.
Well, my comment has more to do with addressing the topic of autism. You know, it is also Child Abuse Awareness Month, and that's not paid attention to a lot either. Because people have these notions that children aren't really abused, or is do as I say and not as I do. And then you have the famous spare the rod, spoil the child sort of thing, where people ignore, they selectively apply certain things, and they ignore, do not tempt the child to wrath either. You know, and people feel like children don't have a right to be angry. You know, what people don't realize is that children will act out to show their anger. And so if you tempted that child to wrath, you know, that's because you're abusing them in many ways, and in ways that you don't think you're abusing them, it is abuse. And if somebody gives it to you, you have a problem with it.
Right.
My point in connecting the two is a lot of autistic children are abused. And I heard one of them mention how some of the comedians have denigrated autistic children, and they do make fun of a lot of them, and a lot of times I don't laugh because I don't think it's funny.
Absolutely.
Some of them aren't funny until you realize whom it is they're targeting. I hate to mention it, but Ricky Smiley, you know, this little character of Little Daryl, that's an autistic child, and we all laugh at it, but we're not aware that it's a child that he's making fun of.
Right.
That's not funny, you know. And a lot of times with autistic children, they have a lot of challenges that we are not aware of. And in my particular field and the future profession I'm heading into, it's going to be more important for me to be even culturally aware and sensitive to the needs of an autistic child. You know, I think I shared with you all before that I do artwork and it's sort of a therapeutic approach for children. But also I'm starting to get into it with adults now. You never know what an adult will get into if you allow them to expand. So therapeutic in a non-traditional way. So I just wanted to put that piece out there. I think that as professionals, we have to start thinking about alternative ways to reach out to autistic children, but also autistic adults, because they're just smaller versions of adults, and they will grow up.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for your question, for your comment, and for calling in and for being a faithful listener. Thank you so much, Nadria. We appreciate you.
No problem.
I also understand that we've got some congratulations in store for you, getting ready to walk across that stage and
scary stage.
Yes, congratulations.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Congratulations. Big day.
Very big day, and there's some pretty big celebrations ahead. Of course, somebody skipped town.
Yeah. I just mentioned at the beginning of the show that I was in Virginia today. So, but I will see you on this side.
Boo. Hey, you know, that reminds me. You know, we still have to get together, the three of us, and go back to what we had talked about a few segments back. Remember, we were gonna we were talking about antidepressant drugs and that kind of thing. We need to in the near future set up that show that we were talking about having, where we would discuss a lot of that, because that is still a big issue, and a lot of that is still going on as far as the antidepressant drugs having the side effects and that kind of thing. Do you guys remember us talking about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk offline via Facebook and coordinate that. Maybe we can do that next following week.
Well, we have to make sure Nadria is available for that. You know, she's that busy person walking across stages for like 20 different degrees and stuff, so we got to catch her when she's right.
Right, we got to see if she can fit us in her schedule.
Exactly.
Okay, we just give you our time, Nadria. I think she may have dropped off there. Yeah, so Nadria mentioned the child abuse and the effect that it has on children when they become adults, and then this whole comedian, if you will, piece into making fun of these children. And, you know, it's really wrong is wrong, Derek, and, you know, there's really no other way to put it, and I really like how she made her points, and I didn't realize that this was Child Abuse Month, so I'm going to have to post something on Facebook.
Well, you know, Nadria is very, very well versed and educated on this subject, and I'm always just so happy when she calls in and we touch base, and she's able to come on and elaborate her expertise and focus saying on things. And I just appreciate it when we get our callers and people that come in and call in and shed some light on subjects that we try to help as well, you know. And it's just a sad thing, you know, when you take into consideration the Steve Harvey issue. And you know, it's just you would think that people know better, and you would think that people are more conscious of things that they say or do in a public eye. You know, this is different. It would be different if Steve was sitting in his home talking to a friend and doing it, then that's different. But, you know, you're going on the airwaves, be it television or radio or, you know, whatever the case may be, and, you know, you're catching a whole bunch of people that you're hurting feelings and stepping on toes in their feelings about, because it's such a sensitive issue depending on the individual. And that's something you just have to take in consideration. You really do.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Got to take it into consideration, and each one of us has to learn to be more sensitive to one another's needs. You know, speaking of being more sensitive and speaking of unfortunately negative things, I want to turn now to our main topic of discussion, which is the murders in Kenya. I want to just read a little bit of an article, and then I'm going to share a personal story and how I found out about the situation in Kenya. But the article is titled, "Brutal Reality Sets In for Kenyans After Senseless Massacre at University." The call came in just after 7 a.m. Fred Musani's daughter, Elizabeth Namaroni, told him that gunmen were going from room to room at her university hostel, shooting any students they identified as Christian on the spot. Asked mom to pray very hard, told her father, "These people are just killing us." Several hours later, the phone rang. It was one of the gunmen who told Musani that he had just shot his 21-year-old daughter dead. Across Kenya, Friday, dozens of families were struggling to come to terms with the massacre committed by Al-Shabaab, which targeted a college in Garissa, eastern Kenya, and left 148 Kenyans dead. Witnesses said the gunmen blasted way into the university in the half-light of dawn on Thursday before staging a 12-hour siege. The Islamic extremist group then massacred students all in their early 20s with a combination of grenades and machine guns. Security sources said the bulk of the victims were women because gunmen herded their hostages into the ladies' hostel. Emergency response staff described the scenes of carnage with bodies piled 3 deep in parks. In a press conference on Friday, Interior Minister Joseph McCreary said that of the 148 victims, 6 were members of the security forces. 4 attackers were also killed when security forces moved in after sunset. Wow, what a tragic story, Derek.
Well, here we go once again. In disbelief of something transpiring after the fact of us saying how bad things are. And, you know, just because they were practicing Christian faith, come on now.
Right.
You know, what happened to freedom to choose what you want to believe and what you don't want to believe in and so on, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, It doesn't get any worse than this, Tasha. As I mentioned responded on a post that we were on Facebook on. This is like the worst case scenario of something to have happened to students, to young people, to people who are innocent for anything other than just what their faith.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, you know, it's very personal to our church, Kim International Ministry Virtual Church, Kim VC. And I'll tell you why, Derek, because because we are Christians, practice the Christian faith. We believe in Jesus Christ. And number two, because we have members, pastors, and leaders in Kenya. And it was either middle of the night or early in the morning when I happened to be up and I got a text from one of our pastors over the lead pastor in Kenya, and he asked me to pray right now because he had just, I didn't even know what was going on yet, and he usually keeps me up to speed via social media as to when things are happening in Kenya and in Africa in general. And he said, pray for Jared, because Jared contacted him on social media and let him know what was going on at the university. And he said, pray for Jared, gunning down students at Garissa. And he specifically asked for prayer for Jared because all three of his roommates had been killed already, and the bodies, he was still in the room with the dead bodies, and he had barricaded himself in the room. And the reason this is so personal to me, Derek, is because I immediately prayed and asked God to watch over Jared. I don't know Jared from Adam, but I knew his name, and I called out his name, and continued to pray for him, and was happy to find out that the police actually drilled a hole in the wall and got him out of his room after, when the security forces went. So it's very personal to me. I feel like I had a kind of an insight as to what was going on while it was going on. And then now we also have pastors who are going to personally speak to, I believe it's 3 or 4 students. We got word from their family members who were involved in the shooting. So it's very, very near and dear to my heart as a pastor, and then especially as a Christian. It hurts my heart deeply to learn that people are being murdered because of their faith.
Well, you know, Judgment Day is going to come where these people who are doing these dastardly things, the unthinkable, are going to have to heed what they brought on themselves, you know. And when you figure all the situations that take place that are taking place today, that we can just only shake our heads so much vigorously until it's not enough, you know, and then we can pray. We have to pray because that helps so much. And you know, the thing is, there's always seemingly going to be something that's going to happen that you would think that we would learn a lesson from, and it wouldn't happen again. But it continues to happen, and it just makes you wonder what is going on where people are not taking the notice and realizing from other people's mistakes or other things that are happening around them that they just don't get it, that they just don't, don't take a notice of, and then let it carry on into their lives and not let them be a part of the problem, but a part of the solution.
Yeah. It's unfortunate. And I think the other unfortunate piece is that these are extremists. And so they're doing things in the name of religion. However, my personal belief is that God would not command such evil. But that's my personal belief.
A lot of people feel the same way. The people that are right in the way of thinking would feel the same way, Tasha. It's not just your opinion or my opinion. I would think it's an 80 or 90%, and those 10%ers who are not are those that need help.
Yes. Yeah, it's unfortunate. It's absolutely unfortunate. I know we had a couple people say they wanted to chime in on this today. So if you are listening and you want to comment or give sentiments or have a question or just want to talk about what's going on in Kenya, please, or what recently happened in Kenya, please call us, 714-583-6964. Again, that's 714-583-6964. Press option 1, and that'll let us know they have a question or a comment. You know, the other reason home to me, Derek, is because I was recently in Africa on a missions trip. And so just the thought of what's going on as far as the murder of Christians and murdering of those who are not Muslim, basically, that's a very scary thought, to know that, you know, it could have been me, could have been you, could have been us.
Right. Now, by the way, just to piggyback on that, how far did this take place from where you were when you were over there just recently?
I was in Uganda, and this happened in Kenya, which is right next door to Uganda. I was in it's East Africa, and Kenya is in East Africa, and it's right next door. I would say no more than 200 or 300 miles.
Wow.
Not very far.
Wow.
Not very far at all. It's like California and Las Vegas.
Wow.
Yeah, very close. And you know, when I left, I don't believe we talked about it on the show last week, but the night that I left Uganda, there was actually a terrorist threat. They actually increased the terror awareness because they were targeting, allegedly terrorists were targeting Westerners in Uganda, specifically in the city, Kampala, where I was staying, actually, the 3 nights of my journey there. So I tell you what, it's scary, but as I heard Yolanda Adams mentioned today, when we're covered by the blood of Jesus, we simply cannot worry about those things. We have to know that we're covered by blood, and we have to live by that.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So,
and then with that,
I want,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, please go ahead.
No, I was just going to just reiterate. I mean, not reiterate, but just actually add on to that, that, yeah, you know that things are going to happen anytime, any place, anywhere, and could be to anyone. So you have to just walk in faith. You have to walk in the faith that, like, you know, last week we talked about it, you know, there's so much that you can, there's only so much you can do to try to be safe and to keep yourself out of harm's way. But at the same time, if things are meant to happen, they're going to happen. If it's in a way that you can't avoid it, you know, even in your best day of trying to avoid it, it's going to happen. It's just that you have to pray and you have to walk in faith. You do.
Right, right. You have to walk in faith. That's absolutely, absolutely right. So one other thing, two other things I want to talk about. I want to turn the discussion to something a little bit lighter, but we will come back to it if somebody has a question or comment. Again, 714-483-6969. So we'll be on the air for a few more minutes here. But I wanted to talk, I wanted to ask you, Derek, did you hear about this divorce by Facebook? Now it may be becoming into law where you can be served divorce papers on Facebook. Have you heard that?
Wow, I hadn't heard it, but it sure isn't. It isn't surprising, you know. Like I say nowadays, nothing surprises you. I hadn't heard this one yet, but so yeah, go on. I'm interested to hear how this works.
Well, it's just saying that there was a New York judge who said that the social site is an acceptable way for a Brooklyn woman to serve her husband with a summons for divorce. Unbelievable.
Yeah, like most things these days, unbelievable.
Now, that's a serious hashtag moonwalk. You know, I just can't imagine that, because if you can serve divorce papers, what else can you be served with on Facebook? But you know what? I wouldn't mind being able to serve potential evictionees, eviction notices on Facebook.
I can imagine if you, I imagine you run into that from time to time with your business, huh?
Absolutely. So I'm thinking, you know, it might not be such a bad thing if I could serve them. Because some people, like, I can find their whereabouts on Facebook, but I can't necessarily find their physical whereabouts. So this judge may be onto something.
Really? Might open up a bad can of worms with that one, because who knows what else it might come up with getting served.
Absolutely, getting served.
Yeah.
You just got served.
Exactly. You might not have wanted what's getting served to you.
Right. So, listen, one thing that we cannot hang up without talking about, Derek, is, well, I was going to say Wisconsin, but that's because I'm from Wisconsin. So we can't hang up without talking about the Final Four and the champions. Duke, congratulations to all the Duke Blue Devils fans and basketball players and all of that. But you all know that I'm from Wisconsin. That was a painful, painful, painful loss last night, but a loss nonetheless. Who did you root for?
Well, I wasn't really for either team, because neither team was my team, which, you know, Arizona, of course, being from Tucson, my Arizona Wildcats, you know, they did the best they could do and under the circumstances with what they were dealt. And I personally felt a little vindication when Wisconsin when Duke won, because, you know, that made me feel a little bit better about my Arizona Wildcats not getting there. You know, it was kind of like a consolation kind of thing. So, sorry, I ain't trying to hurt you on that one. But you know, I'm, you know, bear down. That's what I'm saying, bear down.
Yeah. You know, it was just painful, because you remember how our Packers lost. We talked about this, it seems, not long ago, how our Green Bay Packers lost, our other Wisconsin team. And then we got, so close one more time. And, you know, my mother texted me last night, Derek, and let me just say, my mother keeps everything. I was a big Duke basketball fan when I was in college. My mom said that she had a Duke hat from when I was in college, Derek. Now, Derek, I was I graduated from college in 1994. So can you imagine? My mom still has the hat.
Yeah, mothers hang on to things. Yeah, I know my mom still got stuff. I used to send her stuff when I was in college. You know, I mean, because I was, just always wanting her to be proud of whatever I did. You know, like at the time I hadn't met my dad. I didn't meet my dad until I was 28. So my mom was my everything, and I would always send her stuff, and she still has that stuff scrapped away and stuff like that I didn't, when I was in modeling, I used to do stuff and send her copies of it, when I did Hallmark cards or whatever, and I'd send them, and she'd have all that stuff still, and I'd go back and visit and see, and I couldn't even remember I sent stuff to her, stuff that I didn't even know that she had. So I know how it goes.
I think that's what we should talk about either next week or next month for Mother's Day. We should talk about our moms, Derek, and have a show dedicated just specifically to our moms. What do you think about that?
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. I mean, I think that everybody, we probably get a lot of calls in on that one for sure, because I think when it comes down to it, the mother is possibly, I know in my eyes, the number one relative, that you would always seek to look to, especially if you're, in my case, pretty much throughout my life. Like I said, I didn't meet my dad till I was 28, and he left when I was a month old. So my mother was, and I'm sure I'm not the only one, there's many cases where that's the case, where you were raised by your mother alone, and you think about all the things that transpired in your life that you wouldn't have been able to do if it wasn't for her. So yeah, definitely, I think that is an excellent idea to take into a concept of something to talk about for two full shows.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, let's do it. So we got a couple shows in the pipeway. We're going to talk about the effects of antidepressants, and then we're going to talk about our beautiful moms, and we'll decide whether we'll have that a little bit closer to Mother's Day, maybe sometime in May, the Tuesday before Mother's Day. So awesome. Our time has come to an end, Derek. Can you believe it?
Yeah. I mean, every time we do, we ain't ready. It's like, we saved on not having our little timeout song, so it makes a difference. And as we say week in and week out, hey, this is the best thing for me. I know, and I know you mentioned it as well. And then I'm getting a lot of feedback from, like, last week's show, Tasha. I think when I inboxed you and let you know that we had an overwhelming number of people who are really, really happy with us being in this position to do and to come on here and set some things straight and be unbiased, and be really someone or people who can bring out some things that a lot of people are feeling the same way about, and there are those who may feel differently, but maybe we get something planted in their mind and maybe turning them so that they can think the way they should too, So it makes a difference. We're doing the dang thing, as I say. We're doing the dang thing.
Doing the dang thing, making a difference in the world. And yes, our listening audience actually increased dramatically for last week's show. So we want to thank all of our listeners, especially those of you who take your time out to join us live at 12 o'clock each Tuesday. But we also want to give a shout out to those who listen to us on demand, because that is the majority of our listening audience. People go back and hear the playback. So you can hear the playback of this broadcast or any broadcast that we on the Live, Love, Laugh Network, specifically Tuesday Talk. You can go back and hear the playbacks at any time. Just go to blogtalkradio.com/live, love, laugh. So, any closing thoughts, Derek?
No, I'm kind of anticipate going in here and getting me some muscle stimulation and some sound treatment on my back. For the, like I say, this is the the last time before, well, the second to the last time, my last visit is going to be next, or this coming Thursday, and I'll be done with that and kind of just getting back into the normal thing of just being someone who wants to make a difference in this world in a positive way, Tasha. You know how we do.
Awesome. Okay, well, enjoy your appointment, and I encourage you to do a Richard Pryor impersonation for them. So.
Oh, they already know where I'm coming from. I was like, wait, boy, put that thing up a little higher. Wait a minute, turn it down a little bit. That thing's shocking me, boy. All right, I want to put you down here and let you feel how I feel, see what's happening.
Right, let you see how I feel.
Don't you hug me no more, boy. I'll dust you off.
Of course, that only works if you have, like, people our age or older who understand the value of a Richard Pryor act.
Exactly.
You know, because some of these young kids, if you do that, they're like, why is he talking like that?
Exactly. Yeah. If they don't know, they better go on YouTube and look up Richard Pryor and see what's going on. That's for sure.
That's when real, real comedy was around.
Exactly.
These youngins don't know about no real comedy, huh, Eric?
They really don't. They really don't. And I'm so blessed in thinking that we were around when all the good things were taking place, Tasha. You know, like I say, you know, if anybody's 20, 25, 30, they now, I feel bad that they weren't around when we were younger and knowing the difference and knowing better.
Absolutely. And on that note, we're going to close it out. Thank you so much for joining me today, Derek. I appreciate you. You're an awesome co-host. And thank you to all of our listeners. And thank you, Nadia, for calling in. We welcome you back. And a shout out to all of our online listeners and to those who have dialed in. Join us right here next Tuesday at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Tuesday Talk with Dr. Tasha Parker Meredith and Derek Shelton. Have a wonderful day, everybody.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say.
Because I'm happy.
Clap along if you feel like a room. that's what you want.